Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Kindred Spirit Show on HealthyLife.net. I am Lynn Andrews, and my show is on the fourth Tuesdays of every month at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. As a shaman, author, teacher, and lecturer, I have a special vision of the people that I invite to join us. I see the beauty and the accomplishments of my guests in a sacred way. They are creators of wisdom and knowledge and share their experiences with the world community. We appreciate their work and celebrate their value to all of us. And today we have someone fabulous who has written an incredible book. And her name is J. Zohara Meyerhoff Hieronymus, and she is really quite an extraordinary woman. She writes about the beautiful rarities of nature. All white animals are held sacred by many indigenous cultures and offer deep wisdom to all who listen. In addition to the white buffalo, there are other revered white animals, such as the white wolf, white lion, white elephant, and white bear. Each of these white spirit animals belongs to a species at the apex of their ecosystem, meaning the environment in which they live will unravel without them. Speaking through ancient and modern prophecy and the many humans who communicate with them, these white spirit animals are urgently calling to humanity to restore balance and protect our animal kin, ourselves, and the earth. The name of her book is White Spirit Animals, Prophets of Change. And Dolly, Zoe, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Lynn. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
It is my pleasure. What an honor to have you here. I'm just going to start and ask some questions. What are white spirit animals, and why did you decide to write a book about them?
White spirit animals are animals who, within their species, are white unlike their other kin. So there's a white bear, but it's really in the black bear family. There's a white wolf, even though there's brindles and black wolves, which you certainly know well. Same thing with elephants. They're gray elephants, and they're very special elephants called white elephants. The same thing with the buffalo. There are typically brown buffalo, but as the Lakota teach us, there is a very special buffalo, a white buffalo. So the bear, I think I mentioned the lion, also there's a white lion. These five mammals, the bear, the lion, the elephant, the wolf, and the buffalo, are just several of what are called white spirit animals. So white spirit animals have a very long legacy, which for the most part has been held sacred by indigenous peoples worldwide in ecosystems in which these animals occur. We begin to see currently more and more white animals that get posted online. You'll see a white giraffe, a white moose, a white crocodile. Some of these may be due to the albinism, but the white spirit animals are not albinos. They have two recessive genes, one from the mother and the father, even though their parents may not be white. the indigenous peoples who have always revered them have kept their appearance and their existence very private and very secret from outside their tribal communities. It's only since like the 1930s coming forward, much more recently, in particular in the last 20 years, that the understanding of the purpose of their arrival en masse worldwide is that they are here to warn us of Earth changes. In every tradition, whether Zulu, that's the white lion who is revered in Africa, or the white wolf by the Cherokee, the Lakota, the Ojibwe, it doesn't matter which tribe you pick, they all revere the wolf and the white wolf. All of these sacred lineages have looked at the white spirit animals as not only messengers of drastic change on Earth and the need for consciousness shifting by humans, but they are said by every tradition that reveres them that they are to remind us of the last ice age. What they mean by that is during the last ice age, you know, we go back 12,500 years ago when, as Graham Hancock so beautifully writes about, you know, comets hit the Earth, and we had massive flooding worldwide, which all traditions point to simultaneously in the same time frame. The white spirit animals, having survived the ice age, helped humans survive the ice age. They helped us by a resiliency and a kinship. So when I started doing the research on the lineages and on the sacred societies that revere these holy animals as kin and creator beings, one discovers that the indigenous people have always had close relations with these white spirit animals as elder teachers and their species as well. So bear is an example, sacred to all peoples worldwide who have lived with bear. Bear was considered, as an example, by the Cherokee as the first brother, first creator. When you actually look at the stories of the white bear and the bear itself, you discover things that I found about all of the white spirit animals, which is that they are reflected in the cosmos as well. So before I go too deeply into all the variants, let me tell you a little bit about why I wrote the book. That was your second part of the question. I had a waking day vision. You know, like yourself, I've always been involved in the multidimensionality of consciousness. Since I was a very little girl and had a near-death experience at 3, almost drowning in our family pool, and it was a woman who saved me, and she held me way up in the sky, and it was only like 8 years later that I discovered who this being was. It was the great Blessed Mother of the Catholic tradition and the Blessed Mother of all sacred societies, and she saved me. And so I think from a very young age of 3, I already understood there were other things available to us and other conversations and experiences we could have that were not just limited by time and space. So I was washing the dishes in 2013. It's a very Zen reality, you know, carry water, chop carrots, like the is taught. And I like the way the Dalai Lama says it, you know, there is no spirituality outside your daily life. And I had this image of myself. All of a sudden, I was transported to a place on our property we call the path, and I was surrounded by a variety of white spirit animals, including the white whale and the white shark and white horses and white dogs and white wolves and buffaloes, etc. And I really understood immediately that I was standing before very revered elders. And I said to them, why have you come to me, and what can I do for you? And in, you know, in telepathy, one can't really say it's words that you're hearing as much as whole packets of information, almost like a quantum light packet gets dumped into your biocapacitor mind, and it translates it immediately as if you're a computer translator. So that as a telepath, you can hear any being, whether it's an elemental, whether it's a mineral, whether it's a plant, whether it's an animal, whether it's a human, whether it's a spirit being. And they told me to tell their story. And that was basically what they said. We'd like you to tell our story. And they insisted that I look at them as a group. So through a series of trial and error discussions with them, we worked out who the book should be about. And they selected these 5 land mammals, the bear, the lion, the elephant, the wolf, and the buffalo. And I wasn't quite sure if I could make the commitment to them. You know, like yourself, and like many of your audience who have studied with you and your students, when you make a commitment to anybody, whether it's a human or an animal or a tree or a river or an elemental that you see, these are very genuine relations, and they take it very seriously. So I couldn't, I said to them, I can't make the commitment yet, but let me see. So for about a year and a half, I decided to try something I had never done, not in any kind of organized fashion. I'm a waking telepath and have been on and off throughout my life, but now pretty consistently. And I decided I would try what shamans use in medicine men and women and intuitives worldwide and the Greeks did, which was dreaming. I decided to try dream telepathy with all of these amazing mammals because I felt then the information they would give me would be authentic. So for a year
now... Can I want to interject something here.
Sure.
When you say dreaming, are you talking about lucid dreaming? Are you talking about how you dream at night just normally? Or are you talking about going out of your body into other dimensions?
No, it's very much sleep dreaming. I can do the others. It's very much about before I go to bed, committing to have conversation, and I would only work with one animal for a month at a time. And for instance, I'd say to Bear, what is it you'd like me to know and to share with others? And then I would have a series of dreams. So for a month at a time, I did this in three cycles over a year and a half. I practiced dreaming with each of these mammals, wrote down what they told me in my dreams, which means waking up in the middle of the night and writing down what they tell you, and then spending daylight hours actually sometimes doing physical research online in books, following up on what they told me to see if it was true. Because I didn't want to just repeat what other people say or what channelers say or what intuitives say or other animal communicators. I wanted to have an authentic experience in telling their story the way they wanted it told with me as their messenger.
What did the white wolf tell you? Can you remember?
Oh, I remember all of the animals very clearly. You know, the white wolf was one of the more extraordinary journeys. But basically, wolf is the guardian of the continuum of being born and dying. You know, in ancient Egypt, they called it the jackal. And Anubis is the dog that weighs our life at the end of our lifetime against the feather of truth. And they made clear to me that, no, it's not a jackal. And it wasn't a dog. In so many ways, they explained to me, and it was the most exhilarating experience, an aha life moment, that wolf is actually the guardian of the dead and of the being born, and that it's a continuum. It's not life and death. It's just different experiences. And then I did some research and found out as recently as 2011 or 2012, they found the same thing, that the jackal, which they thought was Anubis, was not. It's a gray wolf. So this was a clear example of the species telling me scientific information that I have no way of knowing and then could confirm through research following the dream.
Mm-hmm. So that animal led you to the process of research and so forth. Is that correct?
What would happen is, you know, these animals are regarded by the sacred societies as prophets of change and that they only appear en masse when humanity really needs to wake up. And the white spirit animals, the one thing they all shared in common is they said, save as many of us as you can. And they didn't mean that from like an egocentric, our species is more important than any other. They understand that as apex guardians of the rivers, of the mountains, of the fields, of the forests, without them in each of those places, the ecosystems they are in collapse. Unfortunately, these very mammals are the ones that men and boys like to hunt and kill the most. So they're all threatened species, and it's very important that we revere not only the contribution they make to the physical plane, but the fact that they are our spiritual kin and have always been elder teachers to humanity.
The lion, what lion did you see as the white lion?
Well, the white lions are sacred to the Zulu and have appeared in Timbavati, Africa, on the longitudinal meridian that actually includes the Sphinx of Egypt and this sort of gold kash under the Nile. The lion in alchemy has always represented the pure-hearted, the purification of our natures, of coming into noble-hearted leadership. You know, like the lion, which is considered actually the guardian of the entire world, in ancient Mesopotamia, Babylonia, Sumeria, the goddess of heaven was shown with two lions on a leash. So the lion, like a cat, is regarded as a psychic being that humans can work with as companion helpers in order to see the future. But specifically, the lion reminds us about our noble-hearted purpose as guardians of the earth. The wolf, interestingly, is considered the guardian of the Milky Way road. The elephant is considered to stir the Milky Way. So they have these fascinating relationships among themselves across the planet. And each of these traditional peoples who revere each of these animals also point to off-planet societies who helped us after collapse of civilizations, whether it was from Sirius or Pleiades or Alcyon. And each of these animals, when we look to the heavens, we see them in the constellations or in other parts of the sky. So that in itself is fascinating, sort of this as above, so below beauty.
Yeah, yes, for sure. And the buffalo, the white buffalo.
Well, the white buffalo is very sacred to the Lakota, and they said without buffalo woman, who was a woman and a buffalo, and that's the thing about all of them work with shamans, and a shaman can become any one of these animals, absolutely shape-shifting into the appearance of them and out. So the buffalo itself overall is considered the center of the North American continent in consciousness. Their purpose is not only to restore the soil, because they turn it over and they help absorb the water and the microorganic, you know, flora itself. They are really to teach humanity about gratitude and humility and peace and abundance.
Say that again. I couldn't quite hear you.
I said that the buffalo not only nurtures the soil, but they are the guardians of spirit, and they help humans with their gratitude, humility, and appreciation that this is a relationship between equals. We just have different jobs. You know, I think people make a terrible error in thinking that humans are the most evolved. It's not that we're the most evolved. It's that we have an obligation to take care of everything on the earth rather than exploit everything on the earth. The animals are not less than us. It's just a different culture and community. But they are sentient beings. They have family. They have memory. They have ancestral history. They have joys, they have food preferences, they have play. They do all the things that human societies do, only I have to say they do it better than we do at this point in our evolution. And that's the thing that struck me the most after writing the book and being with these animals for 4 years, is that they really exhort us to restore the matrilineal traditions, where mother and child is the center of the civilization's culture, meaning this ethos of care, which they all say we've lost and need to restore desperately.
Yeah, I think that's true. And white buffalo calf woman of the of the Lakota and Northern Cheyenne, etc. She brought the prayer. She brought prayer to the people.
Yeah, as well as all their rituals, the marriage ceremonies.
And the sacred pipe.
Pretty much everything they knew, as Leonard Crowdog said, you know, she put her mind into the people's mind, and until she came, we knew nothing, and gave order to the society. And when you look at these matriarchal cultures among indigenous peoples, they're still preserved, where the women are the power holders in the term of electing people and asking people to leave office if they're errant in their behavior. You know, they are the stewards of their children and of their children's education, unlike the Western world's patriarchy, which has really diminished women and children and men as well, but specifically they've been very abusive towards women and children for a very long time.
Yes. And so you are a known telepath, and how do you use these skills? You've just talked about how you use them for the book. Would you share a story from your book to demonstrate how you use this knowledge in your life?
Yeah,
maybe
actually,
one about the bonobo.
Do we have time, or are we about to hit a break?
What? I'm sorry.
I said, do we have time to do the story, or are we about to move into a commercial break?
No, go ahead. Well, if we have to stop,
I'll start with the buffalo, because it's this beautiful story of my niece calling me and telling me that a horse had jumped its fence from an equestrian farm that a friend of hers owned. And this was a very expensive horse, by the way. what I do when I use a telepathy with an animal, and the telepath can talk to anything, anywhere, and anywhen, as my late teacher, the late Terry Edward Ross, used to teach, a great dowser. But you have to ask, may I, can I, should I come into rapport with this being, meaning, may I, is it appropriate, is it within the destiny of this being to have conversation with me, can I, do I have the ability to help, and should I, is it an appropriate thing? So finding out that a horse was missing, I changed its name to Coppertop so as not to reveal the owner, and I came into contact with him very quickly. What I joke is I call them up on the telepathic line, and sometimes they answer their phone and sometimes they don't. Well, he answered his phone very quickly, the way a foreigner would who meets somebody who speaks their language, relieved but absolutely traumatized. He realized that he had made a mistake. He actually thought he could jump the fence and go back to his pasture in Florida, which was almost 900-some miles away, where it was 90-some degrees versus 16 degrees in Maryland. He then went about losing himself completely. People thought he was stolen. They thought he had been lost forever. They were going to stop looking for him. I kept trying to get him to come out into the open, but he wouldn't come out into the open. So finally, you know, as I've learned, and I'm sure as you know and others in your audience may know, you don't really ask for help until you've done everything you can on your own. And I knew I could not bring him back to his barn on my own. So the buffalo befriended me years before I began this book. Six white buffalo are like my guardian spirits, and they offered to help me. So they went and looked for... Are you saying something? They went and looked for him, and to make a long story short, this went on for 4.5 days. I had doused how long would it be before we found him, and I was told the morning of the fifth day and stop. And the buffalo basically took flight because I said, you have to get a human's eye. There were humans all over looking for him and helicopters and all sorts of stuff. And the buffalo took flight, and light refracted off of their wings the way it would off of glass or something else, a shiny metal, and it got a human's eye. This is after 4.5 days of in communication with this animal. A minute later, my
Zoe,
yeah.
I have to interrupt you. Please hold that thought.
Sure.
And we'll be back after station identification.
Register now for online classes with Lynn Andrews. This course, Dreaming with Your Spirit Council, is designed to help you master the art of moving within, to find the key to your dreams, the dreams and the passions that you came into this life to create. In this course, you'll discover your place of true power, learn how to access and work with your dreaming spirit council through divine power and communication, recognize the role that archetypes do and don't play in understanding your dreams. For more information, log on to www.lynnandrews.com.
Here's your HealthyLife.net Green Sense tip. If you can afford to buy all organic food, focus on buying fruits and vegetables like strawberries, bell peppers, spinach, cherries, peaches, cantaloupes, celery, apples, apricots, green beans, and cucumbers, which can be heavily contaminated if they're not organic. Also, limit your use of conventional farm-raised fish, meat, poultry, eggs, and dairy products, so you can eliminate antibiotics, hormones, and pesticides. It just makes good green sense.
www.lynnandrews.com is the website you need to stay in touch and up to date with Lynn Andrews and her busy schedule. Besides all of the information about online classes with Lynn Andrews, you can find her upcoming appearances, lectures, and workshops. Also at lynnandrews.com, you'll find additional offerings, including books, meditations, Joshua Tree tapes and CDs, workbooks, and sacred healing cards at the online store. That's www.lynnandrews.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
We've been speaking with a wonderful woman named Jay Zohara Meyerhoff Hieronymus. And she's written a wonderful book called White Spirit Animals, Prophets of Change. And I had to interrupt her right in the middle of the sentence. So, Zoe, can you go on, please?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So I was telling this story about telepathically being in communication with a runaway horse, a thoroughbred, who was actually in Maryland to be trained to do dressage, which he didn't want to do at all. And he complained vehemently about that it wasn't in his nature and that he was a pre-horse runner. But in any event, I was describing how after 4.5 days of trying to get him to come home on his own, I realized that we had to get a human to see him, not just animals. So the buffalo came to my aid, and after discerning that the horse would not move, I saw them when they first found him, and he was sitting down in his little slice of sun. I mean, you have to appreciate this, a horse who had lived in Florida, brought up to Maryland without any preparation or notification, separated from a groom that loved him, and put into freezing cold weather all by himself. They isolate horses when they first bring them into new corrals, which I was not aware of. So there he is all alone. Who knows why he jumped his fence? He told me he thought he was going to jump the fence and go back home. So in any event, as the story progressed, I started to say, so these white buffalo came to help me. And after they realized that Coppertop would not move, I said, you have to get a human's eye. And I was as amazed as I could have been in that all of a sudden two of the six buffalo took flight, the light reflected off their wings, and obviously got a human's eye. Humans were out on horses looking for this horse every day, for this was the fifth day now. And within a minute of that moment, of those buffalo taking flight, refracting the light into a human's eye, my niece texts me, they just found Coppertop. Now, you know, people can read whatever they want into the synchronicity of it. To me, it was like heaven on earth. Everything had opened up, and things were just beautiful. And that was a use of staying in touch with the horse, then talking with the buffalo. This is all waking conversation. I don't have to speak personally. It's just a question of talking in your mind, because they're talking mind to mind with you. And
right.
It was just a glorious experience. So I have done this since I was fairly young, of helping people with runaway animals and sick animals. But it was only really in the last 5 or 6 years that I decided to start working very deliberately with animals of the wild. I was curious, could I? You know, particularly with animals I had no past experience with, either in captivity or in the wild. And what we discovered is, yes, we all, each of us as humans, can communicate with everything on the planet.
Well, it's so fascinating. And with white, in your book, White Spirit Animals, Prophets of Change, you show how a dream telepathy and trans-species telepathy can be used to communicate with other life forms. Can you explain this more fully,
sure,
if you will?
Yeah, in a very common way. Everybody in the audience, for the most part, has probably had a cat or a dog, or they feed the birds, or they watch the deer, or they see a deceased animal on the road. Anything we come in contact with that's alive, we can communicate with simply through heartfelt love. You know, telepathy and trans-species telepathy, I think, is the way light behaves through whatever brain mind each species has, or whichever facility it has, whether it's a mineral or a tree or a river or a mountain or a dog or a horse or a bird. And so for somebody in the listening audience who says, well, you know, we have a dirty stream out back, and I'm always thinking I should really help do something, but it's a big political issue because there's a factory down the road that's dumping this and that. What I like to share with everybody is no one of us is here to save the world. We are all here together to elevate the world. That's our purpose. And by elevating, it means to come into loving rapport. I mean, it almost sounds, you know, romantic, but I don't mean it this way. Love really is the frequency that holds everything together. Love is kind of like the matrix in which all life is embedded. One could say it's the love of the creator for the created. We are co-creators, which means we have the capacity for emanation. We have the capacity for action. We have the capacity for formation. These are different levels of soul functioning. So if a person says the stream really needs my help, I would say, then do something. And it doesn't have to be a big something. Go talk to the stream. Tell it you love it. every time we speak into water, it amplifies whatever we put in it, whether it's a prayer, whether it's a holy stone that's wetted, or dripping it on a person who's ill. Water will hold whatever signature we put in it. Same thing with the birds. If you think your birds in your neighborhood aren't doing so well, start feeding them. But again, these are important relations, and they shouldn't be taken lightly, like, oh, I don't feel like doing it today. You really have to treat these relationships the same way with your own children or your best friend or your spouse or your significant other, with reverence, you know, and with humility, and to be of service. And I'd say sort of the bottom line to telepathy, people say, well, how do you prepare? And I said, I don't do anything anymore. I just make a decision to communicate, and I do the same way I would with you right now. But it took 40 years of practice. You know, I've been working towards this since I was six. I'm now in my mid-60s. So I joke, it took nothing, just 40 years of practice. But once you, and it doesn't matter if you don't hear what the bird is saying to you. In your heart, if you feel a relationship, if you feel a camaraderie, if you feel compassion is really the bottom line, then just simply make an effort to hear what it is you believe the stream, the bird, the river is telling you. And it doesn't matter if it's true. People say, well, how do you know if it's true? And I always say it really is irrelevant. What matters is that we make the effort. And the more we make the effort, the better we get at discerning what's the difference between reception, projection, imagination, and true listening, hearing. And all things are good if they're done with good intention. So our intention is really the most important thing, which is to be of service. And humility, I found, is really the cornerstone of all of this kind of work. It's not about serving yourself or getting power or being rich or being famous. It's about how can I help the world as it is, as I am today.
You know, it's interesting. It reminds me what you were just saying, that you have practiced, and that that this is something that you do from the integrity of your own soul. In the Bible, Moses, at one point, they needed water. The entire tribe needed water. So he struck a rock and cleaved it in half, and water gushed forth. And he said, I have brought you, whatever he said, I don't remember the wording, but he said, I have brought water. And instead of saying, God has brought you water. And he was not allowed to cross the River Jordan to the Promised Land when they finally got to it because of that.
It was his protege Joshua who actually, you know, continued. Anyway, it's very fascinating, and you're so right, because the work of humans as co-creators, let's talk about our godlike capacities, we have the capacity to make all things right. It's a question of choice. You know, every moment we have free will, and that's the beauty of being a human on Earth. We have an opportunity to express free will and to use it for the greatest benefit. And that's why I say it's about compassionate action, which is what the elephant and the Buddha teaches us, because elephant is the Buddhic way shower.
Hold on one moment, Zoe. I hate to interrupt you. We'll be back right after station identification.
www.lynnandrews.com is the website you need to stay in touch and up to date with Lynn Andrews and her busy schedule. Besides all of the information about online classes with Lynn Andrews, you can find her upcoming appearances, lectures, and workshops. Also at lynnandrews.com, you'll find additional offerings, including books, meditations, Joshua Tree tapes and CDs, workbooks, and sacred healing cards at the online store. That's www.lynnandrews.com.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, the same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. earthchannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Register now for online classes with Lynn Andrews. This course, Dreaming with Your Spirit Council, is designed to help you master the art of moving within, to find the key to your dreams and the passions that you came into this life to create. In this course, you'll discover your place of true power, learn how to access and work with your Dreaming Spirit Council through divine power and communication, recognize the role that archetypes do and don't play in understanding your dreams. For more information, log on to www.lynnandrews.com.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
I am speaking with Zoe Zohara Meyerhoff Hieronymus. She's written a magnificent book called White Spirit Animals, Prophets of Change. And I had to interrupt her again. And she was speaking about this wonderful prophet of change aspect of her book. Can you continue on that, Zoe?
You know, prophecy interests me, and I wrote a book about the seven prophets of ancient Israel and the Tree of Life, the Etz Chaim, as it's referred to in Judaism, and prophecy is based in the cornerstone of several things. One is courage, another is humility, and the third is the imagination, and Maimonides talked about this. And the reason is, if you think about it, a prophet often has to stand before its community and say things people don't want to hear. That's the courage. Imagination.
What's the word that you keep using?
Courage. You know, a sound heart.
Yes.
A heart that has faith, that connection to God, to spirit, to the holy in life is what guides one. So courage is very important, and you will see this in all the white spirit animals. Because they stand out inordinately, they are very vulnerable, but their species regard them as elders and as very special among them. It's not just humans who revere the white spirit animals, it's also their own species. The other thing is humility. Humility is the ability for us to move our ego out of the way, to move our self-identity out of the way and be subsumed, if you were, by the character of whatever it is we're coming into rapport with. Again, whether it's a nature spirit or whether it's a human who is injured and you're trying to help them. And the third thing is a very bright imagination. And the reason they say imagination, you know, we have a culture that doesn't respect imagination, but it's a great and holy tool. Image, imagio, is what we take from the immaterial realm and then impress that in matter. That's how all form takes shape. It starts as an idea, an image, and then we impress that image in matter. Like an architect who has a vision of a drawing for a building, they draw it, and then everybody builds it. So the cornerstone of prophecy itself, being able to speak for and with Creator, which we were all born to do, every single one of us will eventually reach that level of experience, it requires courage, humility, and imagination. So the white prophet animals, prophets of change, they have all in each of the traditions that respect them, honor them, and protect them, and the humans who work with them, who I qualify in the book, and I do a portraiture of each animal and some of their champions, make a commitment to the needs. Like Cynthia Hart Button, who has the White Bison Association in Ohio, for 16 years she has worked with the white buffalo in particular after her father, Uriah White Buffalo, told her on his deathbed that she would be a spirit guardian of the white buffalo. indeed, she became one, and she listened to them tell her where they wanted to go. She took these buffalo to like 5 or 6 different states by truck over a period of 16 years, and every place they went, it rained. You know, buffalo teaches about prayer, peace, and abundance, and this is an example of a human steward being humble enough, a true servant, to do what it was in the wisdom of these animals' notion of the most important thing she could contribute.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
That's fabulous. I want to ask you a quick question. Let's say that a person is out in the wilderness, and they come across a white wolf, say, and they are prophets of change, you are saying. So how would you read that appearance? I mean, this is a real animal, not one that they are imagining in a dream.
Right. It's an extraordinary experience. Anybody who sees a white spirit animal is immediately changed by it. Coming into rapport with any animal, particularly a wild animal, and if we've been affected by mythology that creates a lot of fear, I'd say the most important thing first is to drop into your heart and to really feel love. Love for that creature's own fear, for that creature's own needs and habitat that you are encroaching on in all likelihood. But at the same time, if they come out to meet you, they come to meet you for a purpose. And they're probably, in the wolf's case, telling you that you are a guardian of the newborn and the dying, meaning that you have an awareness that can be of service in your community and in your own life for this process of living and dying, and to appreciate that it's a continuum. As well as being part of a community, you know, the wolf has an alpha male and female leader, even though they may breed with other wolves in their pack. And it tells us about leadership also within our community that is inclusive of everyone, the young, the old, the infirm, the healthy, and that everybody has a role to play. But wolf is an exceptional guardian and an exceptional teacher and will give you everything you need to know to have a life that is balanced.
It's interesting with wolves because they really were the first lycanthropists or teachers.
Yeah.
And they traveled down the trails of existence, and they learn things, and they bring that learning back to their pack and their pups, and they teach them. It's quite something. I'm sure you know that.
Yeah, no, they're wonderful. I think they're the who taught the natives how to hunt. We know that. Tamarack Song's written beautiful works on that, that we hunted with wolf together, and we shared with wolf, and wolf really protected us, and we protected wolf, and it's one of the reasons we have this innate sensibility about wolf and dog. But bear is also very much a canid. It's fascinating. Well, you know, one of the things that I think it's important to mention is we're in the sixth extinction, and when I was working on this book, and I came to appreciate the degree to which we are losing our vertebrate population, mammals, birds, reptiles, amphibians, and fish, they declined by 52% between 1970 and 2010, according to the World Wildlife Fund's Living Planet Report. We are now losing 27,000 species a year. We used to lose 1 to 10 was the background rate. So at this rate, they're saying, you know, 50% of all Earth species will be extinct in 30 years. So I actually asked our animal elders, how can we save more life on Earth? And that's when they said, save as many of us as you can, meaning the apex animals, the whale, the dolphin, the porpoise, the buffalo, the lion, the bear, et cetera, the elephant. Because without them, the ecosystems they preside over, whether it's the savannas or the forests or the oceans, depend on their existence to keep the entire hierarchy of life in those ecosystems in place. And with Earth changes upon us and so many people and animals being displaced over the coming decades, it's very important that these apex guardians are allowed to flourish and that their habitats are preserved and protected, because they will make the planet more resilient as we go through upheaval. And they really
the issue really is, don't you think, Zoe, is that we have too much population.
Well, again, it's always really not about surviving in the physical body. It's about doing our best as noble souls. Not the loss of life, but it's how prepared are we for crossing over. And I think that's why these animals are talking to humans now so you know, forthrightly, because they also know that we face a lot of extinction and a lot of trauma and loss. That doesn't mean it's for naught. It's for transformation. So how we go through change, just like any person who's dying, it's very important that we do it with an aware sense of love.
Well, I think you're right, but the trauma to the animal kingdom, because we eat meat and fish and birds, etc., and with huge populations of people,
yeah,
it is creating all of what you were talking about. The population keeps growing, and more food is needed, and that creates terrifying for the animals. Don't you think so?
No question about it. And if we all became at least ate less meat, we wouldn't have to grow so much of the 70% of crop on Earth for animal feed to slaughter beef. You know, we have enough land.
We have station identification. We'll be right back, Zoe.
www.lynnandrews.com is the website you need to stay in touch and up to date with Lynn Andrews and her busy schedule. Besides all of the information about online classes with Lynn Andrews, you can find her upcoming appearances, lectures, and workshops. Also at lynnandrews.com, you'll find additional offerings, including books, meditations, Joshua Tree tapes and CDs, workbooks, and sacred healing cards at the online store. That's www.lynnandrews.com. Register now for online classes with Lynn Andrews. This course, Dreaming with Your Spirit Council, is designed to help you master the art of moving within, to find the key to your dreams and the passions that you came into this life to create. In this course, you'll discover your place of true power, learn how to access and work with your Dreaming Spirit Council through divine power and communication, recognize the role that archetypes do and don't play in understanding your dreams. For more information, log on to www.lynnandrews.com.
A healthy life needs no twists. HealthyLife.net is best enjoyed straight up.
Zoe's new book, White Spirit Animals, Prophet of Change, which is so important, particularly when we were living a tribal existence all over the world, many, many fewer people. Now that we are billions and billions of people, how do you see the white spirit animals prophesying change? What do you see in this regard, Zoe?
Well, it's interesting because Wolf in A Series of Dreams, which I didn't understand, it often took me several days to be able to interpret one of the dreams. They showed me an African-American with an empty truck that was going to go on the road, and he couldn't decide whether he should call it preservation, restoration, or conservation. And he showed me he was going to fill it up to go into the food deserts, which I've always thought made the most sense, these mobile markets. And if some people are just starting to do this now. I suggested this like 25 years ago. Finally, I understood what Wolf was saying. The Earth needs CPR, conservation, preservation, and restoration, whether it's soil mineralization to woods revitalization to whatever it is. I'm not worried like other people are about billions of people because history tells us plagues happen or they get designed, unfortunately, and with Earth changes, we may have tremendous loss of human life as well as animal life and natural habitats. And it's not that anybody wants to see this happen, but it's almost a natural historical wave. Our civilizations have come and gone many times before us. We're not going to be the first. The question is, why are we accelerating the demise of the planet? Even though we're moving towards an ice age, we see this hot and cold. That's just how it goes. It goes in cycles. But I did want to share something very important to me. You know, the buffalo, because I feel so close to them. I was at the end of my book. It was actually the last dream I had. I was standing with a buffalo guardian, and I recognized him as like a tribal chief, representing, we used to have 60 million buffalo that grazed on North America's continent, and they still need to be allowed to graze freely because that's their purpose, to revive our spirit and our soil. But we were on a mountaintop plateau overlooking this entire cosmopolitan city where the range used to be, and this is what I wrote. Standing together with such a broad-scale view, he shared that, quote, when any one of us, human, animal, plant, or mineral, fulfills our purpose on Earth, we experience the greatest love there is. The white spirit animals are urging us to come to our open mind and open heart, to use the God-given skills we've been given as co-creators, to appreciate that our word, thought, and deed are not nothings, they are everythings. That people who feel that they don't have the power, they don't have the wealth, they don't have the fame to make a difference, I plead with you to recognize that you are a holy being. Your prayers are the most powerful tool we have, that once humanity awakens to the power of prayer en masse, we can change weather systems. The elementals will work with us as they do an individual medicine woman or a shaman. And that it's a question of awakening to our own holiness rather than this notion blamed on Darwin, which he never did, of species entitlement. He actually felt his greatest contribution was the science of love. And he didn't believe in species entitlement. In fact, he said, the greatest contribution he made was showing that there was no human entitlement, that we don't have the right to do to the earth or the animals or the metasystems whatever we want, that we have an obligation to be stewards and to be kin and to do our very best as co-creators to elevate everything around us and to be of service. You know, the bottom line is, it's to be of service or not to be of service. That is the question. That's how I say it. And the other thing I had is, yes, what were you saying?
I was saying that in the prologue of your book, that you wanted to become a writer at the age of 9.
I did.
And at the end of your book, you stress not to discount the visions and dreams of children.
Absolutely not. You know, so many children know why they're here, and particularly now we have such brave old souls incarnating to be of service. Children's imaginations are so important. We stay very connected to our past lives and the inner dimensions until we're about 10, and then society or training shuts it down and trauma can reopen it. But children really do have a connection to the spiritual world, so never discount a child's talking about who they're playing with or what they hear or what they remember last life, because in all likelihood, they are pulling down information that is relevant for the parents and the community and the teacher and the neighborhood, and they are the future. And it's very important that we encourage them to dream broadly and brightly and full of enthusiasm and joy.
Well, it is so true. And the white spirit animals have certainly been a part of my life and my process of teaching for the last 30 years, actually. Yes. I started at the age of 3. And the power animals to me, everybody has a power animal, and maybe it is white, maybe it is not, but they tell you about your original nature. And, you know, say a wolf, you have a wolf power animal, and perhaps it is white, and it gives you the understanding that you are predatory, but you are not predatory in the sense that you want to kill people or those around you. What it means is that you're predatory for wisdom,
yeah,
and that you want to go down all the trails of the world, of understanding, of wisdom within the universe, and you bring back those truths to your people. And you are predatory in that sense. And you want to comment on that?
Well, you know, people like to say that the wolf and the elephant or the bear and the lion are predators. Well, they're not predators in the sense that they don't kill for fun. This isn't pleasure
to eat
murder like humans do. They don't. They're no more predatory than an ant. And in fact, most of the time, they don't want to kill. They want to scavenge what has already died or been killed by some other conquest. Well, I think that the whole thing we have to appreciate is that we each have an obligation. We incarnate to help the world, not just ourselves, and none of us are born for ourselves alone, and that all of us are connected. As much as we're having individual experiences, all of us are united in one field of life, and the animals are no different. So as we go through earth changes and as there's displacement, we will see more and more animals among us. And it's just very important that we stop the kind of abuse of the animal community that we have as a result of academia worldwide, which is really built on the torture of animals. And I hate to end on that note, but it's so important to stop this kind of abuse of the animal kingdom, because the karma humans are creating for themselves is not a healthy one. And that's one of the reasons we may see so much loss of human life. Not that any of us want to see that. Karma has a way of, you know, reaping what it needs to in order to refresh, put the restart button. But I would like to just close by saying exactly what you said, Lynn, is that anything that crosses our path during our day is important. And if we start to see a particular animal more than once or twice, or see it in a book, or hear somebody mention it, or catch it on TV, pay attention. Go look up the meaning of the animal. See how they live, what their lifestyle is like, how long they live, what it used to be like for them. And if you can't do something in particular because they don't live in your neighborhood, there are no bears in my backyard, but I can support organizations that are freeing bears, that are preserving their habitats. And so we can all be of service, even if we're not the direct hands-on people doing some of this work.
Well, I applaud you, and yes, it is something that is so incredibly important. Important indeed.
Yeah, I was going to say you could go to whitespiritanimals.com online. That's whitespiritanimals.com and see what other people are finding around the world with the arrival of white animals.
Oh, I think that's grand. And if they want if people want to get in touch with you, is that the best way?
Yes, it is. Go to www.whitespiritanimals.com and there's information how to do that.
Well, that is grand. And this has been wonderful speaking with you. And I wish you the very, very best with your book. And anyone who you can also hear this recording of this show will be on healthylife.net, and also I have recordings of this on my website, and you can find them there if you wish.
One of the things, if I have a moment, you know, at the very end of my book, I wrote, "May peace be our name and plenty our gift, coming home together." That's what the animals wish, that we would all come home together now.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Boy, I have changed my life to take care of my animals, that is for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, I moved from Beverly Hills, where I lived most of my life. Yeah, in the film industry and working with people, actually. And I moved to Arizona to take care of my horses and goats because...
Oh, lovely. Because, I had a goat,
well,
kid. It's in my book, Maria.
Goats. So if you want to bring laughter and humor to your barn, get a goat. Goats are fabulous, and they take
They're
care...
They're great animals.
Well, they are, and they take care of animals. Oftentimes, the racehorses, who are very lonely a lot. Horses don't like to be left alone.
Yep.
And they'll get a goat, and the goats will live with them.